Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. I'm John Davis, my wife over here, Nadine. How you doing, babe?
Hello.
Welcome tonight to the Charlotte Christian Fellowship radio broadcast. Thank y'all for joining us tonight. Last week, we told y'all we listened to Zach Putin. We'll listen to him again, but not tonight. We want to break down what the brother spoke about last week, and we're doing getting prepared. Let's say it again, getting prepared for the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, the study, we're going to be studying the book of Romans. The book of Romans, people will argue me down, but I think personally that this is the first, it starts the New Testament, as far as I'm concerned, because this here actually talks about us, what we're to do. It's a relationship between us and God. It's the acknowledgement of what who we are, what he lacks, what he doesn't lack, us pointing fingers, us taking accountability. It gets into every bit of our lifestyles this time here on this earth. And he addresses everything. So I'm welcome everybody on. And if you're listening by internet, if you'd like to join us in the conversation, which I hope you will, you got to call in. That's 657-383-1624. Again, at 657-383-1624. Remember, when you do call in, though, if you have something to share, and I know the Lord has is been out to ask people, so I know he's giving you all information also to share, so call in. But when you do call in, if you don't have anything to the time just listening, mute yourself, okay? And then that way the people who are listening I won't hear the background noises, but when you do have something to say, please just unmute yourself. This is a live broadcast, okay? And so I want y'all to know that as we're talking, it's a Christian broadcast. It's not just Who Shot John. I don't know why I use my name in that thing, but, you know, not a bunch of just junk talk. This is really serious stuff about becoming a disciple of Christ, recognizing who we are, and the authority he's given us, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Also, I want to remind you guys that on Tuesday nights, my wife has a broadcast. It's called, I forget how to call it. But
Life on Certain Journey.
Life on Certain Journey. Thank you, babe. I'm sorry. And what it does is make disciples. It tells you exactly what you, not it don't tell you, but it explains the day-to-day lifestyle of walking with Christ. Because every moment of our life, every moment, it's uncertain. Okay, so what the Lord has planned our steps out. And so until we reach that point where we trust God and everything, it's uncertain. So, and that uncertain journey is what we're going through day by day. So join us. I'm telling you, you will get blessed by the information that's shared and when the Holy Spirit comes in and shares information. So, you know, for you can learn about who Christ is, who you are in Christ, and Christ is in you. The number to join that is 929-477-3427. Again, it's 929-477-3427. And this is 7 o'clock every Tuesday night. Okay? And you can speak the same thing. It's a Christian broadcast. So the subject matters that, you know, they relate to the day-to-day lifestyle, so our life. So it will be changing as it goes on. But it will always relate to what does Jesus say. Okay? So welcome y'all aboard. And before we go any further, I'd like my wife to open us up with prayer, if she would, please.
Amen. Father God, as always, we look to you for everything and in everything. We thank you for this privilege, O Lord, that you give us to come over these airways to proclaim your glorious gospel to a people that don't know you love them. We ask you in Jesus' name, Lord, to speak to us and through us. We need the message as much as anybody else. But we ask you also, Father God, that you would give us ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us personally, in the name Lord Jesus. And then we ask, Lord God, that you help us not to be forgetful hearers, but that we become doers of your word.
Yes.
Guide us through this study tonight, Lord God, that we may walk out this wonderful purpose that you've put in us as your children, that we may fulfill your will in the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And brothers and sisters, if y'all listening on the air, what else must be okay? If y'all are listening on the air, if you want to call in, please feel free to do so. But I want y'all also to visit our Facebook page. Hold on for 1 second. Okay. Visit our Facebook page, too. It says Charlotte Christian Fellowship, and it's .org. Again, charlottechristianfellowship.org. And remember this, all scripture from the Bible is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. So I want to dive right on into this. And my wife had something she wanted to share before we start off into the book of Romans. I want y'all to, if you can't remember last week, Zach read, when this began, he was went through from chapter 1 to chapter 3. And we're going to break down chapter 1, you know, starting with chapter 1, all the way to chapter 3. But we don't want to do 5,000 feet. We want to get, you know, on the ground level so we can actually make the Word of God personal to us. And that's what the discipleship, that's what Christ talked to them. He talked to them so they could understand exactly what he was talking about and what he meant. And by that I mean he talked in parables, and then he did what he said he was going to do before he did it. And that's what we need to do first. Christ is the Word of God, okay? And when he did something, he explained what he did, okay? When he called you out, because Christ called you out, but he did it in love. We're going to actually find out how to be like Christ, and that's what we're supposed to do. We're also supposed to learn, and people made a joke out of it, but it's not a joke, y'all. People said, what would Jesus do? We need to know what he would do, okay, and stop this stuff doing, you know, making somebody make you feel bad because they asked you that, and you act like Christ. Why are they saying that to you? Okay, we want to be like Christ. If you're ashamed of him down here, he'll be ashamed of us up there. So we want to know what to do. We want to know how to act. We want to know what to say. You know, the Bible actually says you can tell who is children by the way we love one another. Do we do that? Well, we're going to get into chapter 1. Now, before we get to chapter 1, my wife want to share what the Holy Spirit has given her concerning the book of Romans. Mrs. Davis.
Yeah, and it's not so much what the Holy Spirit provided, but it's just, and I think that Brother Zach Poonen gave us some information over the last couple of weeks about this man called Paul. Mm-hmm. And I guess the main point that I want to make to our listeners tonight is the fact that Paul, his original name was Saul. Okay. But after he had an encounter with Jesus, they called him Paul. And he was a scholar. He was a brainiac. He was also a Pharisee. And if many of you all have read the New Testament, you will notice that Jesus had his most powerful conversations, or let's just say adverse conversations, with the Pharisees, because they were a bunch of religious traditionalists who were leading God's people astray. So Paul studied under the Pharisaic religion, and he loved it. He was very, very, very good at it. And so he was very adamant about people not worshiping this so-called Jesus, not that he ever met him, but based on what he had heard long after Jesus had died and gone to heaven, more and more Christians was popping up all over the place. And so they had to stop this movement called Christianity. So Paul was the one, Saul at the time, was commissioned to round them up, put them in jail, and silence them. Mm-hmm. Okay? So he was a bad man.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And he did his job well. And as a matter of fact, he tells us in the book of Acts he had an encounter with King Agrippa, mm-hmm. who was a Jew, and he was explaining to him how he went from being a Pharisee, religious fanatic, to being a follower of Jesus Christ.
Yep.
And he told him that I used to kill Christians,
mm-hmm.
putting them to death, locking them up. He says, by the way, I was on my way to Damascus to round up all the Christians over there, and I'm going to lock all them up. But on my way, the Lord Jesus Christ showed up,
mm-hmm.
knocked me off my horse, and told me that it was Jesus. The same Jesus that he was persecuting, the same Jesus that he said wasn't real, didn't die, didn't raise from the grave, met him on the road to Damascus and told him. And when he said, Lord, who are you? He said, I'm Jesus, the one you persecuting.
That was it.
You see, those kinds of encounters are phenomenal, to say the least.
Amen.
But what happened after that changed Paul's life. That's why I say to most people that tell me that they're following Jesus, I always like to hear their encounter with him.
Amen.
I always like to hear their story. Their testimony is what we call it, of their encounter with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And sadly enough, most people can't tell you their testimony of their encounter with Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody told them to repeat a prayer.
Yeah.
And say what I say, and then you say it.
Yeah.
Uh-uh. That's not how it works.
That's right, baby.
But anyway, the point that I'm making is that this man was a Christian killer. And God turned his life around. I don't care what you're involved in, the things that you might be doing right now that are very wicked, very mean, you know. I just want you to know he can get a hold of you, too.
That's right.
It doesn't matter. My husband and I, our testimony,
hmm.
where we came from. I married my drug dealer. My husband was a drug dealer.
Amen. No glory to the drug dealer, but that's what
okay.
happened.
And I call myself being slick. This is how wicked I was. I'm going to marry him so I can get my drugs free up for the rest of my life. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? That's pure D wickedness. And that's where we both were.
Yeah.
Okay. And God got a hold of me first.
Yep.
And I had an encounter with him. And he changed my life in a moment.
Yes.
In a moment.
No days and stuff for real.
And that day, my husband was in the room, but he was asleep. But when he woke up from his sleep, the woman that he had married, she had gone.
Gone.
There was a totally different woman in there.
Oh, trouble coming in.
And trouble started. But I tell you this.
God.
Mm-hmm. We say, but
thank
God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
who is rich in mercy. He had mercy on us.
Yes, he did.
Both of us.
Yes, he did.
It took him about 15 more years afterwards to try to get it together, but he got it together.
Fighting.
And God got a hold of him and did it the same thing. One day.
That's right.
One moment.
That's right.
His life was changed.
Everything. Everything.
Everything. Healed him.
Yes.
I watched him take his carton of cigarettes that he just bought and tear them up. Throw them in trash.
Yeah.
Why? Because he had an encounter.
Marijuana.
With the King of Glory.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. So we're on the radio today proclaiming that gospel and sharing that testimony primarily because we would love to have an opportunity to introduce you to the one who knocked us off our horse.
Yes.
His name is Jesus. But the book of Romans is full and rich with information about salvation.
Amen.
And Amen. It's important that we let the Bible tell us about salvation instead of somebody else telling you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't mean that people can't share their faith or tell you about Christ because that's what the gospel message is. We're supposed to go and proclaim the gospel.
Right.
okay? But after the gospel has been proclaimed to you and you've made a decision to follow Christ, the first thing that needs to happen, you need to get hungry for God's word.
That's right.
Newborn babes.
Need some milk.
They need some milk.
That's right.
And so this is where we're starting today in dealing with salvation, coming from the book of Romans. And we want to take it slow.
That's right.
We're going to read one verse at a time.
Yes.
And ask the Lord to reveal us, you know, what can we learn from that one verse as we move forward in the study.
Amen.
Amen. You want me to go ahead?
Go right ahead.
Okay. I'm starting reading I'm reading from the New Living Translation, Romans 1, chapter 1, verse 1. This letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach his good news. Now, that one verse is packed with a lot of information.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Can I give a little bit?
Yes.
Because remember, we are equal in God's sight. The letter comes from Paul, but remember Paul said, as we read in the beginning when we said, all scripture is inspired by God. So take Paul out and put yourself in. Okay, and then it will sound like this. This letter is from God. Yeah. Okay, and to who? And this is to Paul, okay, who is what? A slave of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul was the slave of Christ, and if we're disciples, we should be the slaves of Christ. So this is to us, slaves of Christ. He says this, we were chosen by God. Now, he was chosen by an apostle, but there are many gifts that God has given, apostles, teachers, preachers, all of that stuff. So we have a gift, so we're chosen by God, given a gift and sent to preach his good news. And then he's going to break down to us, like she just read the same thing. The good news was promised long ago to his prophets. Who's the prophet? Well, we're talking about one now is Paul. Okay? So to his prophet, we're learning what he said to us. Okay? And then he said to do it. To his prophets, let me say again, teaching us long ago. The good news through the prophets and the Holy Scriptures. The words that we read in the Bible are holy. These are scriptures. They're holy scriptures. And so he said it for a reason. He couldn't just say words, but he said holy scriptures. The scriptures are holy because they came from God. Okay, so I don't want to keep on going, but I just want to say one more thing. You ain't got to the sixth part, so I'm not going to go any further. But that one part of it is packed, so we took it personal. The Lord has given us his good news. We're his children. We're slaves of Christ. We're disciples of Christ. And so we're the ones who he called long ago to go out and tell everybody about Jesus. Okay, Wayne. Do you want to say some else?
Yeah, I'm not done with the first verse yet.
Go ahead, man.
Having an understanding of who Paul was, and we have to focus in on that because in some cases, people misconstrue the differing assignments that God gives to people.
That's right.
We don't all have the same assignment.
That's correct.
Okay. All of us have different ones. But Paul in particular, as well as all of the apostles, the 12 apostles, okay, they had a specific anointing and call upon them. Apostolos is the Greek term for this word, and it means the one sent out with a message.
Amen.
Okay, Paul said, I have been called an apostle, apostolos, which means one who's been sent, and he even says it in the sentence, in this verse. Paul, to be an apostle and sent out. Okay?
That's
sent
right.
out specifically, primarily by God, to do what? To preach his good news.
That's right.
Okay. So we see here that Paul is another term for an apostle is a messenger.
That's right.
Okay, a messenger of God. God promised this good news long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And so Paul, of course, is speaking on the other side of the Old Testament, which is called the New Testament.
Yes.
They're under the New Covenant now
because yep.
Jesus has come.
Mm-hmm.
But the prophets, like Isaiah, wrote about Jesus coming.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah said, "Behold, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." But he said that almost 600 years before Jesus even showed up.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
But they were the ones who prophesied of his coming. And then in the scriptures in the book of John, John was sent in the spirit of the prophet Elijah to do the same thing. He's coming. There's one coming after me
mm-hmm.
whose shoes I'm not even worthy to untie. He was talking about the coming of the Messiah,
that's
Jesus
right.
Christ. And so the good news is about his son. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's another revelation. The good news, and the correct word for good news is gospel.
That's right.
The gospel is the good news. But you understand here, the gospel message is not about your pastor. The gospel message is not about your grandmother.
That's right.
The gospel message is about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is the focus of the gospel.
Amen.
If you read Isaiah 61, when God told Isaiah to tell his people, "I'm going to send my son, and the Spirit of the living God is going to be on him."
Yep.
And he's going to preach good news. Jesus came with that same gospel message. He's going to preach good news, first of all, to the poor,
mm-hmm.
to the brokenhearted, to the hurting. God wants the message known to all of us that are hurting right now,
mm-hmm.
that are feeling like we don't know what's going on with this world. Well, the gospel message is for you, beloved. You don't have to worry about what's going on in this world. The gospel is about Jesus.
Right on.
And he said, guess what? I've already overcome this world. You don't have to worry about it because I've got you. The good news is about his son. In his early life, he was born into King David's family line.
And that's important.
Yes. King David's family line included some very questionable characters.
That's right.
And I'm so glad that it's written in the Bible for you to understand
mm-hmm.
that there are some very shady characters that were in the lineage of the Savior of the whole world.
That's right. That's so true.
Amen?
That's right.
But, the whole point of understanding about his ancestors is that God still used them.
Amen. And in addition to that, this is the part where, remember in the beginning it says that God's son, see, now he's born into a human line. The God born into a human line. But if you look at the way back in the Genesis, you'll see where it says the seed, okay? Talked about a woman's seed. A woman don't have no seed. You see, her seed will crush your head, will crush your head. He's talking about saying, so the woman don't have a seed. So therefore, this talking about Jesus way back then, because Jesus is the one that crushed Satan. So therefore, in this part right here, it's saying, well, the man, Jesus, came through the line, the family line of David, but David, the male part, didn't have nothing to do with this is God was formed. That's why the virgin birth came about. That's what it is, the virgin birth. The seed of God was in Mary. The Holy Spirit overcame her. You see, so we're talking about now, but he became flesh. Okay, so that's why I said in the early years of his life, he became man. Jesus became flesh. Okay, just like you and I. Okay, so we want to make sure that everybody understands that, for he could experience everything we did, but yet he did not sin. Okay, so I don't want to get further up though, but I just want y'all to know, we're now talking about God,
his son who came flesh. That's what the word just said to us. God's son became flesh in his early years. Come on here.
Amen. Yes, and I also like to encourage my sisters in the faith to see a awesome, miraculous principle of God's relationship to women. And I always like to take advantage of the opportunity to say that, because in many areas of our lives, women are subjugated to second and third class citizens. But I want you to know that man may treat women like that, but God does not.
Honor the way of time.
You understand? So much so that, listen, that when God decided to send a Savior, he stepped over the male man and brought his son through a woman.
That's right.
The women don't carry seed. Men carry seed.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible records that Jesus Christ, born of a woman, not born of a woman and a man.
No. Nope.
Okay? And that act of God spoke volumes to my heart. Because what was done to us in the garden, when Satan took advantage of us and deceived women in the garden, you see, God vindicated us
mm-hmm.
by sending the very one that was going to bust Satan up out of the head. He sent him through a woman.
That's right. That's right.
And so I like to say that to encourage our women of God, that don't think light of yourself.
And
okay? And God has done this before.
I sure have.
But the point of it is that just because you're a woman does not demean your relationship with God because you're a woman. They
Amen.
Won't let you speak. They won't, you know, they all the things that this world has put against women. He had a woman to carry the living word in her.
That's right.
And to birth the living word.
That's right. And a couple, as a matter of fact, even in the past, David's ancestor, Isaac, had a twin brother. Jacob and what's the name of his brother's name? Esau. Okay, their mother. Okay, the Lord once told their mother what was going to happen. Okay, so he didn't tell Isaac. He told their mother, "You're going to have twins." But yet Isaac is in the line of Abraham. But he didn't tell Isaac. He told his wife, and then his wife then. He kept it in her bosom all the time about the youngest going to serve the oldest, okay? And then she made sure Isaac was trying to go ahead and get the oldest son, you know, the right to prayer, you know, the promise. God said, no, he had made a promise to the woman to tell what to do, and she did exactly what the Lord said. And that's the same line that we talk about, the Jesus line.
That's right.
Okay, it's use the woman again. And that ain't all. Mary, carrying Joseph, carrying Jesus, go to Elizabeth. There's another woman. Because John didn't believe it, and his wife did. And what happened? John said he couldn't even talk until the baby was born. You know, until, what's his name? Not John, but his daddy. What's the daddy's name? I forget his name. Not Elijah, I forget his daddy, but anyway,
Elizabeth's
husband, okay, was his mouth was
Zachariah,
because he didn't believe when the angel came and told him, but the woman did, and she carried the forebear of Christ. So when we talk about what man has done, shutting women down, even in the Bible, there was during the time when Paul was talking about two sisters. Arguing, two good friends, arguing. And he said, y'all help them settle that disagreement, my sisters in Christ, because they helped me. So don't let nobody say, well, man will tell you what woman can't do, but what does God say each time?
And don't forget, Jesus himself told his disciples, his 12 apostles,
mm-hmm.
he said, whenever the gospel is preached, I want you to mention this woman.
That's correct.
And you know, and I know, both know, that does not happen.
Sure don't.
That does not happen. They don't give her
all these times, the at least here in the United States, I've never heard, except on Women's Sunday or Mother's Day or something.
Something like that.
But other than that, he says, everywhere the gospel is preached, I want you to share, tell them about this woman and what she did for me.
That's
because it was that dear to Jesus' heart.
That's right.
So, ladies, I'm telling you, know that you, I don't care what anybody else says, know that you are dear to God's heart.
Amen.
And you submit yourself to him.
Amen.
And then he will guide you. He'll be the one that provides me. I was talking to my niece today, you know, about what some man said about her. No, I don't think, no, they can't give you your identity. Your identity comes from God.
That's right. We're going to talk about that part too.
So anyway, we're getting off.
And one more thing before I let's go with the women. Go to the book of Revelation. You see where the woman was protected by God, which she could get seed there too. And the devil tried to get it. And see, God put this earthquake and stuff and covered up. So let me tell y'all something, sisters. The Lord has chosen y'all to do these things. And then let me tell you what the scriptures say. We're equal in his sight. Okay, so go right ahead, Wayne.
Okay. So we talked about where it came from, the family line through David. And he, in verse 4, and he was shown to be the Son of God.
There it is.
When, this is how he was shown to be the Son of God. When he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit.
That's all three right there.
He is Jesus Christ, our Lord.
That's all three in one right there. God, Son, is Jesus. And the Holy Spirit raised him up. All three of them.
That's right. And you can't compare. Now, you may remember that there was another person that was raised from the dead, Lazarus.
Yeah.
Okay? But Lazarus was called out of the grave by Jesus.
Yeah. And he died again, too.
So there was an agent available there to call Lazarus out of the grave.
Mm-hmm.
But when Jesus went in the grave, won't nobody else in there but him, the Father, and the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody could take credit for how Jesus came out of that grave except by the power of the Holy Ghost.
That's correct.
And so that was the evidence, that was the power, confirmation of who Jesus Christ was, the Son of the living God, because no man called him out the grave.
Amen. And it tells you who Jesus is, too, right here. It says, he is Jesus, our Lord. Who's our Lord? Jesus. Who called God? Our Lord. You see, so people want to confuse the two. He is Jesus, our Lord. But people don't understand. We're trying to break it down to a point for you to understand that we're talking about one and three different three men in one. The Holy Spirit, he, God, he, the Son, he. All of one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they break it down to you with it. Who is Jesus? Our Lord. Who is our Lord? God's Son. Who's in him? Who raised him up? The Holy Spirit of God. Okay, it's all one. And as we begin to study this book here, get into it, we got to listen to what's going on. That's why it's important that you go back over it again, you meditate on it again, and if you got questions, please, don't keep them to yourself. Either write them down and talk to us next week, or send us a text. You can send us a text in a couple of different ways. Which do they want to send a text to us on what? My phone number, or to the church site? Which way?
Well, they can send an email to CFCCharlotte1@gmail.com.
Okay.
And we'll get it, and we'll be more than happy to answer any questions that you might have.
And please, y'all, if you think you got it or already know it, then I'm telling you, fooling yourself. Deceit is what the devil wants. He wants you not to ask questions. He wants you not to know who you are in Christ Jesus. We have an identity problem dying on this earth, and we're supposed to look like Christ. But because our identity, we don't want to give up the identity, we have the special thing. We need to die. You remember the Bible actually said the cost. You got to weigh this thing. The cost is your identity. It's our total identity. That's the cost to go to heaven. Give up everything. And you gain salvation. You know, so what it is to gain the whole world and lose your soul? That's what this is about. So we're trying to get you to understand what this is about when we talk about who Jesus is, what he came to do, and what he's doing for us. And he's breaking it down in the book of Romans, where we're in no doubt who our Lord and Savior is. Yes,
amen. Verse 5. Through Christ, God has given us the privilege and authority.
Yes.
As apostles, to tell Gentiles everywhere what God has done for them, so that they will believe and obey him, bringing glory to his name. Now, in many cases where the gospel messages that we're hearing today, they don't contain that kind of information. Okay, Paul is saying that God gave them the privilege, or let's just say the grace, the ability, opportunity. Okay, he gave them that and the authority. So that means God backs up their words.
Yeah.
God backs up the word of an apostle.
Amen.
Because he's given them the authority to represent him in the earth. And Paul says that we've been given, especially Paul's been given the authority to tell Gentiles everywhere what God has done for them. That's part of the gospel message. What God has done for you.
Amen.
Making sure you tell people that they understand that the gospel message helps people understand what God has done for them.
Amen.
You can't, we just finished doing a study called Bondage Breaker, and I really did like it because it went all the way back to help you understand what God did for you when he sent Jesus Christ.
That's equipment.
You see? So God, you know, salvation without the, you know, the comprehension of what it was all about, really, you're just going along because somebody said something about salvation without even realizing the purpose of salvation. You know, I remember when I first was told that I need to give my life to Christ, nobody told me why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what was that all about? So I wouldn't go to hell. Is that the only reason? So if I give my life to Christ, that's my ticket out of hell. No, 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 beloved. As a matter of fact, if you read the gospel message, it don't even talk about hell. But it does talk about the devil.
Yeah.
Okay? So the point of it is that, you know, Paul right here, it's helping us to understand how we can help others by sharing the gospel message with them. The gospel message is what? It's about Jesus.
Yes.
It also tells people what God done for them.
That's right.
Why? So that they'll believe it and obey Christ.
That's right. That's right.
And bring glory to his name.
Amen.
So when you preach, when you shared the gospel with someone, and you go walk alongside them, you know, in their journey, the fruit of it is going to be someone who obeys Christ and bring glory to his name. Go ahead.
Now, also, when this word apostle, remember something, these different gifts. But Jesus also said, make disciples. My wife just mentioned something. They went through a study. That study of book was scriptural based. They would equip them. That's equipping. So we're going to go out, and once we get saved, you're just like a baby. When you have a baby, that baby could be born again of Christian stuff, but he can't talk, can't walk. Why? He can't do nothing because he's a baby. So therefore, that baby got to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of God. Got to be equipped with the word of God. So you can go out and then, the privilege, you're given the privilege, but you don't know how to use your authority yet. So once you go ahead and get equipped, then you go ahead and tell everybody. And then Gentiles are mentioned because who's a Gentile? Anybody not Jew. But now it's no longer Jew nor Gentile. Now tell everybody to me. You see, so that's what this book is about. Remember, the book of Romans, though they were just coming into the New Testament. You've got the gospel. You got John, Luke, Mark, and Paul, and all that stuff. Gospel stuff. But those were still in the Old Testament. They were still living out the Old Testament because Jesus had not, you know, finished it. When Jesus gone and they came back, when Paul then met Christ on the road, you know, when he came back and you know, breathe into her. That's when the New Testament began. After he said it is finished, when Jesus said it's finished, that's when the Old Testament ended. Okay, it ended. Then the New Testament began. But the thing is, but to know that, what does that mean? What does it mean? Jesus had to teach his disciples, equip them to do the work of the Lord. See, and once you do the work of the Lord, then we bring glory to his name. That's what this is about. And it ain't about us getting all this glory. You're going to find a lot of people saying, you know, these big churches, mega churches, stuff like that, and a lot of people coming in, well, this preacher, this and this preacher, that. It ain't about the preacher. It ain't about him. It's about God, giving God glory. And God is a jealous God. So if you're talking about my preacher, then I'm telling you, you're missing the whole point. My church, you're missing the whole point. You've got to realize that all glory, this says it itself. He said, bring glory to his name. That's the bottom line. If it ain't bringing glory to his name, then all the stuff on the church you're going to and all the fellowship you're going to, if it don't bring glory to his name and bring glory to anything else, then as we get down to the book of Romans, you're going to see what God says about that. Okay? So remember that if we're getting equipped, get equipped with the word of God. It's time for us to die to all that fake stuff we learned. This is what we're doing. We're learning the ABCs so we can rightly read the word of God, and the 1, 2, 3 so we can rightly divide the word of God, and we're educating ourselves in man's ways, the things that we were taught by man that was not the true gospel, giving God the glory. Okay, Mrs. Lee.
Amen. So we saw here in verse 5 that the apostles tell the Gentiles what God has done for them, and this is what comes out of it, so that they will believe and obey him, bringing glory to his name.
Amen.
So God is glorified when we believe and obey him.
Yes.
Verse 6, and you are included among those Gentiles.
Who's the we?
Who have been called to belong to Christ. Now remember, Paul is writing this letter to the Romans. Romans are not Jews. They are Gentiles. Okay? But what the letter that Paul is writing to the Gentiles, he's also writing to us.
Yep.
Okay? So we want to hear the same message that is being preached to them so that we can benefit like they did.
That's right.
Okay? Because the word of God, and this is the word of God, Paul may be writing a letter, but he wrote as the Holy Spirit gave him utterance, him the inspiration to write.
That's right.
To them. Okay, so he says, and you are included among those Gentiles who have been called to what? To belong to Jesus Christ. Did you hear that?
That's right.
You belong to Jesus Christ. You are his property. That's why Paul started off saying, I'm a slave.
Yep.
Slave is somebody else's property. Okay? And here he is saying, you are a slave too.
Amen.
You are a slave and the property of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. But that's not a bad thing, beloved.
Sure.
When a man has a slave, that's a bad thing. But when you're a slave to God,
hallelujah.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Hallelujah.
Because they're bad slave owners and they're nice slave owners. But none of them matches the great slave owner who is our Father in heaven, the one who created us.
Amen.
We are made from his hand.
Yes.
That's why we're his property. That's why we belong to us. That's why some of you tell your children, I brought you in this world and I'll take you out. I know you've said it before, or at least heard it said. Okay? But listen, this is what God is saying. You now belong to Jesus Christ. He says in verse 7, I'm writing to all of you in Rome who are loved by God and are called to be his own holy people. That goes for you too, beloved.
That's right. Because Rome is,
The Rome was just a place that he was talking about, but if you just read above the line, as he said, and this goes for us too. So therefore, wherever we at, he wrote it to people in Rome, but this goes to us too. So therefore, yeah. Now just say it like this. He's writing to us in America, who loved by God, are all called to be his holy people. That's us too, y'all.
That's us.
That's us.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. And remember this now. We just learned that we glorify God when we believe and obey him.
Yes.
And if he tells you that you are loved by God and called to be his holy people, believe it.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
I don't care what your past was or what your current situation is. It does not negate the fact that God calls you his own.
Amen.
And that he loves you. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace.
Big time. Now, besides calling us his, now he just gave. Now, if God say may, it ain't maybe. It's may. Now, why he say that? He said because this world down here, there's going to be troubles. So therefore, the thing is he's going to give us is grace in this time. He's going to help us out. Grace is a forgiveness of sin. Mercy is the thing that we ain't did, you know, unjustly deserved. And he's going to give us peace to go along with this thing. So when we talk about God's goodness, he's talking about this. When God says something, he don't lie. He can't lie. He can't lie. So he just said, make God the Father. And then he gets asking that God the Father and Jesus the Son are one. So not just saying it and stuff to let you know who he is. God, may God the Father and the Lord Jesus give us grace and peace. So when we take it personal, it's not you know, it's us. See, he's talking directly to us. Remember up there when he said, we're included? He's talking about us, y'all. When he talk about Rome, we talk about everybody everywhere. We're included in this thing. But see, you can exclude yourself, but he don't exclude us. You see, that's why we were talking earlier about woman being secondhand. Woman not secondhand. Woman is equal. God says in the end days, he's going to separate the sheep from the goat. He didn't say woman and man. He never said that. People say that stuff. You see? So we want to keep to what the scriptures say. We're going to tell out the scriptures, not tell out, excuse me. We're going to open them up so that we can reveal what the word of God is saying. We're going to be able to bite it, chew it, you know, not a great big bite, but a little teeny piece, but you can chew on it, because you can meditate on it. It can become part of you. It's like the food we eat. It's got to become part of you. It can't stay in your mouth. It's got to be you, put it in you, and let it digest in you, but it can become part of your blood running through your veins. But then when you something come up, you know what to come out of you. So out of the abundance of the heart, after you chew this word and go through your heart, out of your mouth, abundance will speak from the abundance of your heart. That's what we're doing. That's what this is about. And before we go any further, I want to open the broadcast for people to get us any questions, though, okay? The mics are open. If anybody would like to share anything, let me see how
it's a computer, honey. You can't do that.
Oh, da-da-da-da. Okay, here we go. The mics are open. Sorry about that.
Hi, good evening, Davis family, Mr. and Mrs. Davis. I just wanted to thank you for being so encouraging. Hi, I just wanted to thank you. This is so encouraging. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, dear. Be encouraged.
Amen.
Amen. And what I wanted to add about where God says, where Paul says, may God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. This is what the fruit of believing and obeying God will provide for you. If you believe that he is your Savior, if you believe that he loves you and has called you to be his own holy people, then that in itself will provide much grace and peace to you.
Amen.
Grace is the unmerited favor of God.
Amen.
Okay? Grace is what comes with salvation. They said we're saved by grace through faith.
Yes.
Grace has taken care of all of our past sin.
Amen.
God's mercy keeps us from receiving the payment for the sins that we commit.
That's right.
He has mercy on us. He has the right to deal with you according to your sin, because he's a just God.
Mm.
But grace and mercy help you out, because grace is the favor of God where he will overlook your sin, because Jesus paid the price for your sin.
Amen.
The penalty for your sin is death.
Amen.
That's the penalty for sin, is death. Okay? But because Jesus died for you, he died in your place.
Mm-hmm.
Because God knows, and in case you don't know, we are sinners.
Amen.
Saved by grace, by God's favor, because of what his son did, not because of anything that we did. The only thing we did was what? Believe and obey.
Amen. That's it.
Believe that Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, took all of your sins, and I do mean all of them, not only the sins that you committed before you knew Christ, but all the sins that you're going to commit after you know Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a time period there where you're going to be maturing, and you're going to make some mistakes.
Amen.
But guess what? It's all covered by the blood.
Amen.
So in Christ now is another thing we're going to talk about later on. But what God has done in this salvation process that he's put in place is forgiven us for our sin. Jesus came to do this. He came to set every captive free from Satan's bondage.
Mm-hmm.
He came to forgive all of your sin,
mm-hmm.
and he came to give you a new life.
Amen.
You are given a new life that's not predicated upon these fleshly things that we have, but upon the Spirit of the living God.
Amen.
That's the new life that we have.
Amen.
So I think we can, you know, we can pick up with the next section. We're talking more about, we get more into the good news next week, beginning with verse 8.
Amen. I want to mention a little bit more on this word peace at the end here, because with grace you get peace. On this world you're going to have many problems. That's what he mentioned to us. But the peace that he's talking about is beyond anybody's understanding, the human understanding. We have troubles in this world. It might be with a financial or marriage or,
yep.
or children acting out. You know, there's this disease that's going on down here in this earth. The thing is, though, it still gives us peace, his peace. And that peace he gives us, it goes beyond this, what you see. Because we don't walk by what we see, we walk by faith. And the faith that he has, let's say, well, he gives us peace. And that peace, the only way you don't receive the peace, you don't receive the peace. You've got to receive Christ as your peace. Christ is did these things for us. The grace he gives us is, say, well, regardless of what you've done, because you now are mine, we're not slaves to Christ. He died for us, and that's why we talked about earlier when he was raised from the dead with the power of the Holy Spirit. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is enough. And now he's given us this grace to go along with what we've done, so therefore we don't have a owe to the old sinful nature. We don't have nothing to him. We're slaves to Christ. But our old sinful nature will continue to pull at us, the same old thoughts we have. So the more we meditate on the Word of God, the more you feed yourself, the more that old nature will be decreased. But until we come to the fulfillment, the adulthood, even as adults, even the Bible talks about, as an apostle, we who've been walking with Christ a long time could be deceived, impossible. So if the devil challenges God, our Lord Jesus and Savior, if he challenges him with the Word of God, do not think he ain't going to challenge us. So when we talk about, growing in wisdom and stuff, Christ is full of the Word because he is the Word. So that's his Word is in us. But you got to get the Word in us. We got to get it in us so we can receive those benefits, those privileges that he tells us we have. So therefore, those things he gave us, these are gifts that people don't talk about a lot, does not preach about a lot. But these are the things that will keep us strong. When we're talking about putting on the full armor of God, these are some of the things we need to put on. These are some of the things we have authority he's given us. In the name of Jesus, be gone. In the name of Jesus, Satan be gone. Even when it's Christ, and we'll read about that down the road, when Christ pray for us. Okay, and if he prayed for us, he prayed what? To keep us, don't take us out of this world, but to keep us safe from the evil one. We have God on our side. We have Jesus representing us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. So when we talk about going to church, we are the church. We are the church. We go to a building to fellowship, but we're the church. We're with God. Wherever we at, that's where God is at. He says he never leaves us nor forsake us. So we got to learn these things that God has given us: grace, peace, authority, the right to be called his sons, his children. We got to realize who we are. And the devil is using those things that we don't use. God says to us, we are destroyed by lack of knowledge. When we don't call ourselves who we are, then the devil will use that against us, and we'll say, well, I got nothing, man. I'm just going through all this trouble and stuff. When it just says, it gives us peace. Who's important when we believe? The trouble that we're in, and we think God can't bring us out? The power of the Holy Spirit raises us from the dead. So we have a God who created everything, and he sees what we need. He knows the power we're in. But when we come out, my wife mentioned earlier, how do you tell a person through their testimony? God gets us through the fire, but we can come out the fire and tell somebody that God is able. If you ain't got a testimony, how are you going to tell somebody this? You going to tell somebody that's a story? Tell your own. That's why when the doctor said, why their testimony, many people came to Christ. So we're going to be going through some things, brothers and sisters. We're going to be going through a lot of things. But the thing is that we're going to realize also who we are. We are slaves of Jesus. We are his living disciples. He just said we're included in these Gentiles he was talking about. Today. So before we get, we almost time to shut down, but before we go, does anybody want to share anything?
I just want to say that the whole beauty of what God provides us through his son Jesus Christ is that he's taken care of everything.
Yes,
that's probably the hardest part for us to wrap our minds around, that God has taken care of everything. You know the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd?
Mm.
That's the reality of our lives.
Very good.
He is the one that takes care of everything. And all he's asking us to do, like the Bible says, is believe and obey.
Amen.
Okay, because if you can't, you may not be able to comprehend. The Bible says, in many cases, it's impossible for a human to comprehend the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
It don't make sense to us because we come from a nature or a culture that says when you do something wrong, you need to pay for it.
Yeah.
You need to go to jail. You need to be punished.
Mm-hmm.
We come from a punitive society. Our parents raised us like that.
That's right.
You know, you did something wrong, they beat you or made you sit in a corner. You know what I'm saying? But what wound up happening is we start thinking that's the way God is. We start judging God based on the way that man treated us.
Yep.
But God wants you to know, he says, I love you with an everlasting love. And that love that's provided by God includes discipline.
Amen.
So just because you find yourself going through something because of something you did that wasn't pleasing to God, he's not going to throw you in hell. He's not going to swat you with the fly swatter. He said, I made a way for you to get it right. It's called repentance. Come to me. Repent. Come to me, and let's make it all right.
Well, brothers and sisters, we're closing down tonight, and to God be the glory. We thank everybody for joining us.
Thank you.
We look forward to next week again when we continue studying the Word of God and becoming equipped to do the will of God. Jesus, living disciples, be blessed. May God continue to bless and keep you safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. And until we meet again, good night.
Good night.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good night.
You're welcome, dear.
Mm-hmm.